Time I would like to introduce my first speaker. His name is William. Okay.
Morning, family. My name is Wilma Addy.
Good morning.
And good morning to everybody. And most of all, I'd like to thank my half pal and Nakai Nana being a part of my life. I always say that for me, the day I understand God got me here and people like yourself helped me to stay here. Because as I keep going on through this process and staying clean, I like to take credit. So I keep letting me know that I didn't do this myself. You people helped me. And what I like this tradition here. I thank God as I came around. I didn't like tradition meetings. I duck and dodge them early on. You know, I thought the steps were I just wanted. I didn't, you know, they was bored and I didn't want to be a part of that. Let me kind of share some about myself before I get on the tradition, why it's so important. How I showed up in this fellowship of Nakai Anonymous, you know, powerless, hopeless, helpless, you know what I'm saying, and suffering. I was a suffering addict, didn't even know I was one. And I never been in treatment. Happened for me, it was jail. And I was direct to these rooms of Nakai Anonymous. And the danger part about it, I didn't want to come. I've been to plenty of methadone programs. I done sold dope and used drugs a long time. But in my mind, I was okay. When I got to the rooms of Nakai Anonymous, and that's why this edition is so important, our group had one primary purpose, to help the addict that still suffers. Get a message to the addict still suffers. Why that's so important, I didn't know that then. When I came to the Media Trust Clinic for the first time, you know what I'm saying, when I came to the door, I felt a love and the spirit was in the room, but I didn't understand what was happening, right? And you know what I mean, and they welcomed me. You know what I'm saying, they approached me, you know what I'm being, they, you know, I didn't accept hugs during that time. I didn't understand what it was all about. You know, my ego and my image was in place. And I still thought I was all right. But what's so important for me that I never say that I was an addict. You know what I'm saying? I kept coming back. But the love I received in the room and the atmosphere of recovery, I felt in the rooms. You know, I never seen nothing like that. I never seen a bunch of loving and happy people. Because where I come from, they were shooting and knocking each other in the head. You know, so when I seen this, I was real rebellious about what was happening in this room. But by this room, this meeting was being very loving and caring. And that's why it's so important to have a message of recovery. You know what I'm saying? I'm suffering with a disease of addiction. I don't know. I need to hear something that's going to help me. I don't need to hear about how many shirts you wear, how many cars you got, how many alligator shoes you had. I need some help. The only way that I'm going to get some help is somebody share about their experience, strength, and hope, how they got out of this dilemma, how I can get some help. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know that because as I kept coming back, as I sat in this room confused, didn't want to be there, clearly come in. First, you know, it's like, damn, I'm one of them. Damn. But one for the person sharing about his addiction, how he recovered, I wouldn't have got it. You know what I'm saying? And you know what I'm saying? People was loving. And what I get out of this so important that we, as talking about these meetings that we had as have a message of recovery, it's so important that the responsibility, the unity I've seen they working in the rooms. And what I have, for the, you know, I have a friend that when I first came around, I didn't understand why she was trying to get to the meeting all the time. While she was trying to get, you know, setting up the room. And I'm like, damn, you trying to do all this? You know what I mean? But as I watch her do this and others do this, I begin to understand, as I come into the process of recovery, and as I begin in recovery, the addicts behind me need a place to come to get some help. And I'm talking about being there with somebody else that was there for me. That was just about getting involved. Excuse me. I get thirsty. Getting involved in recovery. Have the understanding that when getting involved in service and taking my responsibility serious, you know, getting in time to do my responsibility, or if I'm a chairperson, you know what I'm saying, the group have a responsibility to help the chairperson understand that he needed to go get speakers to have a message of recovery. That's important. Not about all that was happening in the world and how much I had a vacation and, you know what I'm saying, I had a whole lot of them stuff I couldn't stop using. So important that the speaker have a clear message of recovery. You know what I'm saying? And you know, the secretary and it, this edition talks about as we get come in recovery process and what begin to happen. I've seen it in the rooms myself that the people that been here get so involved in socializing, but they forget the newcomer, the person that's suffering. You know what I'm saying? As you meet someone, they're telling us that we got to be very vigilant as people come in, because for me, man, when I came around, I didn't know how to approach people. So we had to approach them, get them numbers, make them feel welcome. You understand what I'm saying? So that's important, you know what I mean? And to tell that we, you know, not to get involved in, anytime we're getting, they're talking about money, property, and prestige. How true it is. They tell that when we're involved in money, property, and prestige, we divert our primary purpose. We get away from what we, you know, the primary purpose. I'd like this addition because it tells that the most important thing is the addict still suffering. I don't care. That's the most important thing. I don't care what we do here. It talks about all the stuff we do here. Maybe in, it helps us for our primary purpose, but the most important is that the addict still suffering. You know what I'm saying? And what this addition tell us, if our group is suffering, you understand what I'm saying? You see that we're not, the meeting is not bringing in many people. The 12th tradition offer a guideline where the group can take an inventory of itself. And what I'm saying, I'm just like, wow, man. You know what I mean? That how they can get their group on task, what they can do to draw in the addicts. So we got addicts from everywhere. You know what I'm saying? I know some addicts that come here that didn't have nothing. I get addicts that had something, still didn't have nothing. They thought they was all right. So it's so important that they hear a message of recovery. You know what I'm saying? This is the vehicle they talks about. This is the vehicle that when addicts come in the room, they be hurting and suffering. They need help. They need help. And it talks about getting involved. How I get involved with this addiction day, you know, I'm involved in service in many ways to care a measure of recovery. You know what I'm saying? That I'm an H&I and I'm in service. And why I do all these things, not that I'm trying to impress somebody, but as I've been around here for a minute, that I can understand it. That, you know, I have a gift that people that help me. I understand the suffering and how addicts come around that feel less than. You understand? Don't feel a part of. Don't sit in the room that you don't want to be there anyway. And we so busy that we overlook these people in there. You know what I'm saying? So I thank God for the tradition itself, you know. We have learned, and this edition talks about, getting involved in I remember being in going to these meetings where they had Secretary Port. It talks about in that literature about we have Secretary Port, and we be so involved in, the Secretary be so long and the suffering addict be there in pain that we so be in support and be in about the finance of but what we trying to go on to do. And you mean, so what we're doing is getting away from the primary purpose. And what they do with the suffering addict suffers. You know, this is what it talks about. You know what I'm saying? So I'm so glad that I have to begin to understand that it's so important to get involved in my home group. You know, I have a responsibility there to help out. You know what I'm saying? In my home group, and where I like the home group I have, as we get people that wants to be in service, what we do, we walk them through it. We help them. We just don't set them in place and walk away. You understand what I'm saying? Walk away. So, you know what I mean? They ain't never been there, so how they know what to do? You know what I'm saying? They have to be taught what to do. You know what I'm saying? You got to take them by the hand to help them. You know what I'm saying? You tell us that we can't, you know, don't be too busy. And I find that in these rooms, as we get stuff and be busy, we get less tolerance of, you know, helping people. You know, we ain't got no time. Hey, go a newcomer after Secretary Port. And I seen this in the room. Guy says he's new, or a lady says she's new. You understand what I'm saying? I'm new, I need some help. People don't get up as you an approach to him. You know what I'm saying? Or you give him a package. Go to the table. We got all this literature. You understand? Put your number on and give him some help. You know what I'm saying? You know, I see people just sit there. As you come around, you know, I find out myself sometimes that I'm so busy that I'm ready to run out the room and got so much business to take care of, but people was here for me. You know what I'm saying? And and we fail to do this, and it talks about in that literature, you know what I'm saying, that what begin to happen, if the addicts don't feel welcome, what they do, they won't come back. They'll die. We'll lose many addicts. You know what I'm saying? So if you got some kind of recovery, then you need to give it back to help somebody. I mean, you can do it in many ways. You know what I'm saying? You know what I mean? Talk about how I used to, one of the words I always say when I first got, I'm so grateful. I say that quick in a minute early on, but I wasn't doing nothing. I was taken again. I was selfish. I didn't care about nobody. I didn't have no integrity. And then I hear people, as people come in this room, I think I was one of them too early on when, and the newcomer will throw their hand up to try to share, and they'll say, "My name Bob, I'm an addict." I say, "No," he say, "I'm named Bob." I say, "Who are you? Who are you?" He say, "It's a Bob." I said, "Bob, you what?" He got the right to say he's Bob. He had to say he's an addict. You understand? So I didn't know that early on. The only way I noticed that he had to go to the tradition meeting. I'm talking about how grateful I am for this fellowship helping me, but I don't know a damn thing about it. Nothing about the fellowship, not how it works, and nothing. You understand what I'm saying? I remember when I was on narcotics and dope, robbing and stealing, I kept coming back. I found that if I wanted a boost, I found the best booster. I found the best stick-up man. I found a dude that now sell dope, so I kept coming back to how to learn what to do wrong. Until I wind up roamed like this. But what I'm saying that it's not about how good I can talk. You know, if you came here in pain and you can remember how you showed up, then you can have some a clue how the newcomer feel. You know what I'm saying? And big as this fellowship is, in the area I'm in, I always say this, but I do the best I can. Bigger the area that we're in, man, got a little bit of people taking double meetings, triple meetings. And the thing, you know, man, after I pray a whole lot, because I go to these meetings and I be hearing about, sometimes people want to say, People talking about how grateful, and we sitting in an H&I meeting, and we double up, triple up, and ain't got nobody up in there. They don't even want to step up to the plate to help out. You know what I'm saying? I'm saying how grateful. Didn't have nothing when they got here. Nothing. They didn't even have self. And somebody took some time with them to help them to recover. Gave them some time. Took them out to eat. Spend some time with them. To sponsor them. You know what I'm saying? To help out. You know, so I'm encouraging people, if you're not involved with your meetings at home, get involved. Help out. It's not about talking, it's about running out the door. You know what I'm saying? The newcomer sat there in pain. Then one thing, somebody that you know may come in, your sister or your brother may come in there in pain. You know, so I encourage people to get into tradition meetings. They're very important. That's why they're on the board. That's why they say 12 steps and 12 traditions. And I'm so glad and honored that I am learning about this fellowship and this program that helped me so much that I'm willing to get involved because I know how to suffer. Trust me. I know how to suffer. I know how I feel. I know the pain I used to feel. I know that I figured that nobody really cared. Nobody really. I was the only one that felt like this. I remember the feeling, being alone in a room of people. A room of people, and think I'm alone, and scared as hell to raise my hand up. You know what I'm saying? So I encourage people to get involved. And this edition here talks about helping the addict still suffer, provide a message of hope. This fellowship is a vibe, a message of hope and freedom to any addict. And what you'll find when the people are sharing their story, it talks about in our literature, I don't care where you come from, you'll find some healing in this process. You know what I'm saying? You're going to think you identify out, but if you keep coming back as people share about their experience and strength and hope, you'll find some help. I think that's enough out of it. I done the best I can. And I'd like to thank y'all for allowing me to be here and thank the committee again. Thank you.
Now I would like to introduce my second speaker, Doug. His name is Doug.
Hi, family. I'm an addict named Doug. I was hoping there wouldn't be too many people in here this morning. Still being in the bed. I get real nervous when I have to stand up in front of people all the time, you know. I don't get real nervous when I'm sitting in my home group in a circle, but when I got to stand in front of people, I get nervous. And it kind of reminds me of when I was in jail. Had to face the judge, and I had to face him. That wasn't too good for me. I didn't do well out on the streets on my own. Primary purpose was a real eye-opener for me when I first got here. My primary purpose when I got here was to get as much drugs as I could get and use as many as long as I could use. That was my primary purpose. I remember when I first got here, I came out of rehab, and I was fortunate enough to go to a rehab that had was based on the first three steps of this program. And they taught me what to do when I got out of rehab. Go to a meeting, raise your hand, tell people that you're scared, and tell them how you feel, and tell them that you're looking for a sponsor. They actually taught me exactly what to do. And that's what I needed when I first got clean. I needed somebody to tell me exactly what I needed to do because I didn't know where I was going or what I was going to do. I had not a clue. That first meeting, I raised my hand. I was the first one to raise my hand in that meeting. Today, it's my home group. Best home group in the world. Shady Grove meeting Saturday night, 7:30, Shady Grove Hospital. Come on down. It's the best meeting in the world. And I raised my hand. I told people, I said, I just got out of rehab. at noon today. Here it is, 7:30 in the evening. I'm scared to death. I don't know what to do. But they told me to tell you that I was scared, and they told me to come in here and ask for a sponsor. And that's what I did. And what happened after that meeting was shocking to me. I was not ready for this. I naturally got my back up against the wall, like I always did, out on the streets, because I didn't want you behind me. And nine guys lined up in a line, waiting in line to give me a hug, tell me that they loved me, and they wanted me to come back, and they gave me their phone numbers. What I heard was, keep coming back. For the first time in my entire life, I'd never heard that before from anybody. The dope man didn't want to see me because if he saw me at 7 o'clock in the evening with paycheck in my hand, he was going to see me another 15 more times before the sun came up, whether I had money left or not. He knew that, and he didn't want to see me at all. You know, my family didn't want to see me. I was out there. I was really burnt. And nobody ever told me to keep coming back. Nobody wanted me back. And that was the first time I remembered ever hearing that from anybody, even my family. And for me, that was their primary purpose. I learned that later on. You know, they were helping that suffering addict. And, you know, it says it on your medallions. It says it on every medallion in this fellowship. That no addict seeking recovery need ever die. It says it right there. All you got to do is ask somebody. If you don't have one of these, all you got to do is ask the person who's giving out the chips at your meeting, ask them to read one of these, to see it. They'll show it to you, and you can have one. I was coming down here, and I was late coming in here this morning from Delaware. I was lost. I didn't know where the hell I was. And I saw this marquee on this church, and it says, "Practice makes perfect. Be careful what you practice." And I read it, and I'm going like gangbusters to get down here, and it hit me about 15 minutes later. Whoa, that pertains to this fellowship, pertains to me. You know, if I come in here and I practice being a jerk, that's what you're all going to get. You know, that's what that newcomer is going to get. If I go to work, if I get up in the morning, I go to work every day, and I earn an honest living, I give the man an honest 8 hours, and I come home and I go to meetings and I do service work, like William was sharing about, that service work is real important for me. And if I do all of these things and I become a responsible, productive member of that society that I never wanted to be part of before, that's serving my primary purpose. You know, that's putting an example in front of somebody that's coming in here that does not know, like also what William shared, don't have a clue what we're about. They don't have a clue what they're about. I didn't. I didn't know where I was going. I didn't know what was going to happen to me. I had no idea where my life was going, but I knew it had to change. So I ended up in these rooms through the grace of God. And I had to learn. I had to learn what you guys were about. I had to read the basic text. I had to read the literature. I had to go to meetings on a regular basis. I had to get involved with service work like all of my sponsors. I've had a number of sponsors. And all of my sponsors, every single one of them says, get involved in service. Now, some of them are still clean. Some of them are not still clean. Some of them are still in the fellowship. Some of them are not. But the bottom line is they all gave me the same message. Keep coming back and get involved with service work. And whatever you do, just don't pick up. And you'll have a chance. Well, I heard that. You'll have a chance. You know, that's all I wanted was a chance. You know, my MO was to get involved. Let me give you an example of my MO. I would get a new job. I was very unemployable when I was using. I would get a new job, and I would learn just enough of that job, of that company, to swiggle through the cracks and do just enough to earn a paycheck. That was it. I didn't want to do anything else. And I was slick. I was slicker than snot, man. I would learn those things, and I would think I was getting over because this guy's giving me a paycheck for doing something I already know how to do. I thought I was slick. Well, wasn't slick enough to hang on to that job. That was my MO, to learn just enough of anything, get involved in a relationship, learn enough about that person to get over on that person and show that person that I'm the boss. That was my MO. That was me. I was slick enough to earn a passage into these rooms. That's how slick I was. I had to learn when I got here. I had to learn what you people were about because I didn't know. I thought you were friggin' crazy. I really did. I thought you were just a bunch of junkies that either weren't getting high and trying to put on a smile in front of somebody, trying to bogart their way through this thing, or you had the best dope in the world. That's what I thought. My primary purpose today is to get up, clean my funky butt, go to work, give the man an honest 8 hours, come home, do my service work, go to meetings, do my service work, and go home. That's my primary purpose today. By example, see, I'm not real good on one-on-ones. I'm just not. I haven't got to that point yet. I have sponsees. I got a bunch of sponsees, and I preach to them. Get involved in service work, you know. Do what I do. Don't do what I say do. Just follow me. You know, I'm doing the best I can do, and somebody along the way has told me I'm doing the right thing. So I've been clean for a couple of 24s, and I must be doing something right. So just follow what I'm doing. Don't do what I tell you to do. Just follow what I'm doing. But get involved with service work no matter what happens. For me, service work has taught me about the traditions. I go to a tradition meeting every week. I go to a step meeting every week. And I go to my home group every week. But traditions have taught me how to live with you guys. You know, the steps have taught me how to live with me. Traditions have taught me how to live with you and everybody outside these rooms. Okay? My primary purpose today is to help the suffering addict when they ask for it. I can't help you if you don't ask for it. I can't give you something that I have if you're not willing to accept it. I can do it over and over again, and that's what I do. I go to meetings. I say my prayers. I work the steps. I have a sponsor that I call on a regular basis. Well, I haven't this week, but I call them on a regular basis. I pray, and I don't pick up. That's what I do on a regular basis. And for me, that's enough. You know, that gives me the strength to keep going on, to come in here and share my experience, strength, and hopes. And hopefully somebody will get a message out of that. I knew when I came in here, I wasn't willing to accept anything. I was scared to death, but I wasn't willing to accept what you had to say unless it was okay with me. You know, I went in the first year and a half I was in this program, I went through 4 sponsors, and I relapsed 3 times. Okay, until on the 3rd relapse, it finally hit me. I was in the dope man's house, and we'd been smoking crack all night. It was me and him and his girlfriend. And we're sitting there, and we're out of dope. I wasn't out of money, but we were out of dope. We had 2 hits sitting on the table. And the 2 of them were sitting, and they belonged to him. They weren't mine. And they're sitting there. I'm jonesing. And they're sitting there watching Johnny Carson, Late Show. And on the show, this is really weird. On the show, they had a couple of people on the show. They were having a debate about cocaine addiction, whether it was mentally addictive or physically addictive. And the 2 of these, the dope man and his old lady, were arguing back and forth about it. Well, I've been in the program for almost a full year. I said, hey, I can't take no more of this. Why don't y'all just shut up? I said, neither one of you knows what you're talking about. Look, I'm in NA, okay? And I know what the deal is. I know what's going on here. And they looked at me like I was nuts. Not 3 seconds later, the very next words out of my mouth was, can I have one of those hits? happened? The guy says, no, man, that's me and the old lady's go-to-bed hit. And I said, I was jonesing big time. With that moment, at that moment, it hit me. I learned what this addiction thing was about. I learned that this addiction was trying to kill me. I learned that I had no control over what I was doing while I was high. I learned it at that second. And I came running back to these rooms with my tail between my legs, and I have not found it necessary to pick up a drink or a drug in almost 14 years now. Thank you, Lord. My primary purpose that I've learned over this span of time that I've been here is that I need to help you, not me. I get the help I need by doing those basic things that I just said. You know, I get my help. But if I can't give back what I've gotten, I can't keep it. And that scares the piss out of me. Excuse my French. But that scares me to death. That alone, and the fact that I don't want to live like I used to live ever again, keeps me clean. So if I can help you come in these rooms and learn what this thing's about, and then you, it's up to you what you're going to do with it. I can't make you recover. Then I've done my primary purpose. I've done my job. I honestly believe that my higher power has brought me this far, and that is my primary purpose today. That's my mission on this earth today, is to help you. Okay? If I can do that, if I can say one word or one sentence to anybody and it helps them to stay clean for that day, that hour, that minute, then I've done my job. I've served my primary purpose. Without a primary purpose, without a goal in my life, I'm lost. I don't know what to do. Without a set plan in front of me, I don't know what to do. I'm that stupid. Okay? I don't know what to do unless it's laid out right in front of me. You know, you can tell me something, and I can read something all day long, over and over and over again, 50 million times. But until I feel it, until it hits me, you know, right between the old proverbials here, I don't know it. And a good example of that is I worked my first step with my fourth sponsor. First time I'd ever technically worked a step. And he gave me a bunch of words to define and in my own words and then write down what I thought the spiritual principle of the step was. And I was real proud of what I'd written down, you know. I'd accomplished something the first time in my life. And I went back and I talked to him about it, and we went over it a couple of times. And he said, well, what do you think the spiritual principle of the first step is? And I said, well, I think it's honesty. He said, well, let's go over it again. So we went over it about four more times, and I still wasn't understanding where he was going with all of this. And he said, well, let me tell you a little story, and maybe this will help you. And he told me, he says, look at the Japanese. I said, what do the Japanese have to do with my first step? He said, well, just look at the Japanese in the World War, back in the war. He says, what did they do? I said, well, they lost. He says, no, what did they do? I said, well, they surrendered. He says, that's right. He says, somebody back then was smart enough to know that he had to surrender in order to win. He says, and look at them today. Where is Japanese today? They're pretty much a superpower today, I'd say. You know, if not just financially, in a lot of other ways too. So somebody back then was pretty smart, you know, had their act pretty well together to know that. And he says, it's the same thing here. You have to surrender in order to win. You have to surrender to this program in order to recover. He says, you can be as honest as you want to be, and honesty is a big part of step one. But until you surrender, you won't get it. And I had, you know, a light bulb came on for me. I understood it then. I must have read the first step 50 million times in that period. Every day I read the first step, every day for 30 days. Okay, and I wrote on it, and it took me like 2 months to finally write out what I needed to write out on that first step. But I needed to hear a story. I needed characterization. I needed somebody to show me the way. I needed to actually feel the way before I understood it, you know. But once I understood that about surrender, and I started surrendering on a daily basis, when I read the first step now, I get a lot of other things out of it that I never got before. Not just the primary purpose of that step, but I get a lot of other things out of it. I'm starting to ramble on a little bit, and I was told a long time ago when I start to ramble, I'm going to lie. So I don't want to lie to you people. I don't want to go there. Primary purpose is very important to me. It's a tradition that lives within me today. You know, I try to go up to a newcomer and give them a hug when they walk in the door. I know a newcomer when they walk in the door. They don't have to open their mouth, you know. And when they share in the meetings, you know, you hear about these drug-a-log things in the meetings. And a lot of people just cringe, and they don't want to hear all that. They want to hear about recovery. Well, isn't that recovery? To me, it is. That's being judgmental, if you ask me. So I try to hook up with them after the meeting, give them a phone number, whether they ask me for it or not. Give them my phone number and say, call me anytime. That's primary purpose to me. You know, that's service work to me. You know, like William said, there's a lot of different ways you can do that. The most important for me is to go up and give that person a hug and tell them, come on back. You know, that's my favorite saying. It really is today. My license tag says KCB. Mm-hmm. Keep coming back. And it means everything to me. It really does. It's to me, it's a foundation stone in my recovery. And that, for me, is the most important thing that I can give to a newcomer when they walk in the door, is to let them know, come on back. We want you back. We don't need you. We want you. And you see that little glimmer in their eye. And about 3 months down the road, if they stay clean, you see them in a meeting, you see this little spark of life in their eye. It's not that dead pool in their eyes anymore. You know, that emptiness in their eyes anymore. You see that spark of life in their eyes. And man, that's such a rush. I can't tell you what a rush that is to me to see that, to be able to feel that. And for me, that's a whole lot better than a shot of dope. It really is. Shot of dope lasts a whole lot less time. And that's what I'm good at, shooting dope. But to feel that rush of somebody recovering and seeing life back in their eyes, awesome. So anyway, that's about all I got. And I want to thank the committee for asking me to come down here and share. It's an honor for me to be able to do that. Have a good time this weekend. And we're going to have some good weather. That's all I got. Thanks.
Okay, I'd like to thank all my speakers for sharing. We still got time for the workshop. Would anybody like to share?
How's everybody? Thanks for letting me share. I'm going to make it short, so anybody else that would like to come up here? My name is Gary Brill. I'm an addict. Sorry. First and foremost, I'd like to thank this fellowship, you know, for its grace and its mercy, you know, for what it's done for me and what it's done for so many other people I've seen. And I'd like to thank my sponsor, too. And I'd like to thank a God of my understanding, you know, for keeping me alive, you know, to get me into this program. You know, I just say this at every meeting, you know, before I share, you know, I'm just truly thankful I didn't have to wake up this morning being completely powerless, you know, and having to use against my own will, you know. And see, that's, for me, that's what it's about today, the primary purpose, you know. It's about that I use today, you know. You know, what am I doing today different? And that's what it's about for me, really. I mean, I couldn't imagine it if there wasn't traditions in this program, you know. If there wasn't a primary purpose to help the newcomer, where would I be today, you know? Where would I be, you know? I wonder where everyone else would be. They probably would have got some recovery, gotten their nice brand new cars, drove, and that coming never came back. But it says right in the literature. See, I'm new. I really read literature a lot, man, because none of the literature don't lie to me, man, period. It don't lie to me. And in my whole life, I've been misled, you know what I mean? So I read that literature so I can identify with you, you know what I mean? And see, it says meet and make us make it. So that's why, you know what I mean, the people kept coming back, you know what I mean, to help carry the message. The addict still suffers, period. That's what it's about for me, man. You know, my whole life, man, you know, it's basically I've had an identity crisis trying to figure out who I am. And, you know, I bounced from friends to friend because I had a problem with acceptance. More importantly, I was afraid of rejection. So I put on a phony image, you know, and tried to people please you, try just basically be somebody I want my whole life, you know. And see, through that process, I had to lie in order to keep that image up. I had to steal to keep the image up. I had to be manipulative. I had to do a whole lot of things, you see what I mean, against my will, you know what I mean, in order to keep that image up. And more importantly, my life was so unmanageable, you know what I mean, because of this. And when I got to this program, you know, I didn't know nothing about responsibility. Like I said, you know, my whole life was chaos. So how's a person like me going to have a plan to stay clean if I don't know how to be responsible, see, from the get-go? So it's so important for me to hook up with a sponsor right from the get-go. See, somebody who's been in the process, see, somebody who was living the principles, somebody who was, you know what I mean, which I've really been giving to him and helping the newcomer. See, that's why I'm here today. Only through my sponsor, I really believe this. And he guided me to find a higher power of my understanding. It's the only reason why I'm here. And see, and you know, I'm just, the places I've been in my life, this addiction has carried me, you know what I mean? I have so much gratitude to be here, you know what I mean? I can come in here and get a hug, you know what I mean? See, I couldn't do that in jail. See, I can't just go up to people and I need a hug. That shit don't work there, see? You know what I mean? You know, I could come home and I don't have to watch BT if I don't want to, see? You know, and I don't have to fight over somebody taking my orange off my tray, see? See, today I can go into my refrigerator and I can get an orange and a tangerine. I'm tired of jail. I'm tired of institutions. I'm tired of almost death situations. My father coming home and seeing me getting carried out on stretchers. Not knowing what's going on, see? I'm tired, more importantly, having my ego dictate my whole life and basically being blinded by my denial. And, you know, it's only through this process, man, on a daily basis, man, that I had to chip away at these problems I have, you know. And see, you know, it's so important, man, for me to have the desire to want to give back to the newcomer. Because, you know, it keeps me happy. And that was so profound for me, man. You know, I was eluded by everything this program told me at first, you know. I was so eluded that I would be able to recover just like these other people, see. I was so eluded by that there was a new way for me. Because I really convinced myself there was no new way and that I would die, you know, in a rocking chair, smoking a joint. See, I really thought that was for me. But you see, it really wasn't, man. I come to find out that I'm happy in this process, man. And my sponsor told me, if you're not happy, you're not going to stay. And that eluded me, too. As I had never been, everything I'd never done, I'd always quit before I finished and I'd never follow through with. And see, that's what I like about this program. See what I mean? It's something I'm always going to have to practice the principles because I'm never going to be able to perfect them, see? And see, another thing about it, you see, this is an incurable disease, which means if in order for me to beat it, I'm going to have to stay around for, you know what I mean, the rest of my life, man. And see, that right there is my hope, see? This means that I know I can come back for the rest of my life. See, I can continue to have this happiness I feel inside of me, and I don't have to lose it, see what I mean? And none of this for me is an instant gratification. This was all work, man. It didn't get overnight, man. And, you know, I really, man, I ain't trying to sound like I've heard a newcomer being put down at a meeting, man, back in my hometown by a guy who'd been there for about 10 years, and he was saying they were perished because they were quoting a text. And, you know, I looked up and I said, well, you parish too. Because, man, you know what I mean? I think everybody's been quoting a text somewhere around time or another, you know what I mean, throughout this process. I mean, how else am I not going to be able to identify? See what I mean? So it's just so important for me to read this text, man, so I can identify what people are saying, man. And, you know, really, it's just like, you know, it's like a blueprint for me, really, man, you know. And the chapters itself, man, really just seem like it's like the stepping stones, you know. Who's an addict? Start with that one, and then go to the next one, and I work my way up, finally to be more to be revealed, you know. It's just so amazing, man. I just have a lot of gratitude for what my life is, how it has come, how about I've been able to heal, you know, relationships with my family, you know what I mean? more importantly, I've come in touch with a higher power, I'm understanding, you know. And I just feel, man, I just can't. I love being in this convention. It's a great place, man. I'm sorry I did not thank the speakers who spoke before me. That was real rude. And, you know, really, you know, I always will come back to this convention. This is a great place, man. This is like insurance for me, you know what I mean? It's real insurance, you know, because Narcotics Anonymous has prepped me for what's coming down the road. And I know it is, man, because, you know, I suffer from a feeling disease, you know what I mean? It's a feeling disease, and I always run or hide or react bad according to the way I feel today. And this program, and through the steps, are teaching me how to process my feelings, you know. And only through coming back, you know what I'm saying, will I get better. And will I become a better human being? And I'll be able to be a sponsor one day. And this is some of my goals, man. I know that my recovery is not so tight like a jar that, see, nothing can get out, but can't nothing get back in, see? I know I'm going to have to keep it open and loose and give it away, and, you know what I'm saying? And free that and make more room in that void that I came here with, you know what I'm saying, replace it with recovery. So it's so important for me to try to help newcomers. I never, ever, believe me, have found so much happiness in trying to help another addict. I never knew that would make me happy. And man, oh man, it makes me feel so good, you know. So I will continue to keep coming back, you know. Hopefully I will be a sponsor one day if it's in God's plans for me, you know. And I'm just going to stick around, man, and just allow God need to do what he needs to do with me in order for me to be who he wants me to be, you know what I mean. And so another thing my sponsor told me, man, know me happy till you start doing what God been wanting you to do. And, man, I've never really felt so true. Another thing eluded me when I first came here. My sponsor asked me, when was the first time you felt like you ever been in love? That was a hell of a question to ask somebody that had been living through hell, you know what I mean? That's a hell of a question, man, you know, ask somebody who'd been out there living in hell, you know? I can just remember, you know what I mean, sitting at a table for 3 days and not washing, not bathing, not eating. After it's all done, wanting another one. You know what I mean? I can remember Food Line on Tuesdays. They had the best pastries when they threw them out. And watermelon on Wednesdays. See, I thought these were some of the rewards of not working recovery, see? An easy life, the free food, the easy way to go. See what I mean? Getting over on people in line. But I almost wound up in penitentiary for 40 years. To numerous felonies. By God's grace, he had a different plan for me, see? You know, I'm too young to go to penitentiary for about 40 years, you know what I mean? I don't know, man, you know, I'm a little fragile, see? He built me up and tempered me to be who he wants me to be. And I hell as hell take to be tempered, have to become tempered in a prison, you know what I'm saying? Instead, see, God's got a different plan for me, man. I tell you what, I ain't about ready to spit in his face, you know? And you know what I mean? Take my will back, you know what I mean? And I do take my will back, but you see, that old self I'm talking about, that old self-will that I used to live, that's why I don't want to take back, man. See what I mean? That's, you know. And they told me, Gabriel, if you don't like this so far, we can refund your misery. And you know what? I'm sticking to staying, man. You know what I mean? So if you need to keep coming back, man. And, you know, I'd like to thank everyone that put this convention together for me and all of you guys to be here. And thanks for letting me share.
Got still time for somebody else to speak? Let a lady speak.
Hi, I'm an addict named Jackie. Hey, Jackie. Hey, I've never spoken at a convention, but the primary purpose, it says, to carry the message to the addict who still suffers, and the one little thing I have to share is... I had a hard time getting clean, which a lot of us did, and I kept relapsing. And it was my last relapse, and I was 3 weeks clean, and I was one mean, angry, pissed-off person. And an old-timer came up to me, and he said, start carrying the message. I said, what? I said, how can I carry a message? I don't even know how to stay clean. He said, you got 3 weeks clean. You can carry the message of a person with the one day. And that's what started this program, and that's what I started doing. And by 3 months, I was in H&I. I went and was sharing places because I had a year in the program with about four relapses. So I was what I called my own expert on my relapsing, okay, and my issues. And I worked the steps real hard. And that's what I've done, and that is what has kept me clean one day at a time, 1 hour at a time. When I go in chair somewhere, I tell them right out, I'm here for me, because this hour I'm with you, I'm keeping myself clean. That's what this program is about. By helping you, I'm helping myself, because if I don't stay clean, I ain't got nothing to give. And by helping other people, like the gentleman said, is the greatest feeling in the world. And it taught me all those things I didn't have. You know, at a month clean and 2 months clean, no self-respect, no self-confidence. I'd lost my whole soul. But when a newcomer says thank you and shares with you and listens to you, and you didn't want to go to the meeting in the first place, and you felt like crap, you know, taking an H&I in and say, I don't want to go to a meeting, and you go, and you come out of there smiling, feeling great, and feeling so much better. And it was service. And they said, you have to give it away to keep it. And I'm so glad that person told me at 3 weeks clean what to do, because that has kept me clean for almost 2 years. And by carrying this message, I'm okay today. And as long as I know if I wake up tomorrow and I carry this message again, I can keep staying clean. And I keep right up front the pain the newcomer's feeling, because I remember that pain. And the day I forget it is the day I pick up. Okay, thanks for letting me share.
Good morning, family. I'm Steve. I'm at it. And it's only by God's grace and mercy that I'm here today clean. And it's just good to be here, you know. That's a good topic, primary purpose, my primary purpose, you know. I was sitting there, and my heart got to racing, you know. And my heart got to racing like that's time for me to share. Yeah, it's really time for me to, you know, to get up here and share about, you know, how I'm feeling. Because, see, that's my disease. That's my disease working on me. Really don't want me to share. You know, so I got, my primary purpose every day is to defeat my disease. And when it started acting like that, this is the way I defeat it. Talking about it, you know. So, and y'all said something about that first step. You know, being honest, you know. And thank God y'all told me not to be cash register honesty. Just be honest about my disease, man. And every time I pick up, every time I use, I lose. You know, me and cash register, honestly, I ain't never been that. You know, early on in my recovery, I walk into this giant food store, go to the ATM machine, and the money's sticking out. You know what I mean? So I did what a dope fiend do. You know? But y'all wasn't talking about that type of honesty. You know? Just being honest with the fact that every time I pick up cone, every time, I break out in handcuffs, man. Break out in handcuffs every time. Not sometimes, not maybe, but perhaps. Every time for me, you know. And I'm on somebody's count. Count time. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Prison. You know, they tell you when to wake up in the morning, when to go to bed at night. Who you can see, you know, all that. Calling home, trying to get somebody to come see, all that. Went through that for years. I started shooting dope in summer 1969. I didn't get here until June 96. So I can get cute and say, do the math. Unmanageability was in my life for a long time. You know, so my primary purpose today is just to stay clean one day at a time, you know. And I think the gentleman said something about, you know, me staying clean helps me, first of all. Then I'm able to help somebody else, you know. So man, I work a first step every day, you know. Staying clean, primary purpose, you know. Thank God, man, that I'm here today and I ain't on nobody's count this morning, you know. So I just try to keep that up front, you know. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Got 5 more minutes. Anybody else want to share?
My name is Brent. I'm an addict. You know, we're talking about the fifth tradition, and I heard some of those things that we read that are in the traditions, but we don't really pay a lot of attention to. And I remember this gentleman said something, and when I read that in the fifth tradition, I realized how important it was for me to participate in the group part in that tradition. And it said something that addressed how we come into a meeting and begin to socialize with one another, and forgetting that the primary purpose, because what it says at the end of that tradition, when it's all over and done with, all we have to offer is the message of hope and the promise of freedom. And when I read that part about how we can come into a meeting and forget about that person who may be there for the first time, feeling lonely and by himself, I began to think about what was really important for me in that meeting, because those people that I was talking to were the people that I had been used to seeing, and people had given me with this program. But I really need to realize that that one person that was in that meeting that was feeling by himself, because all of my energy was being spent on the people that I knew, that I needed to get diverted from that and began to go up to identify with that person. And that's in that tradition, is making sure that that person. So I have an assignment when I come to a convention or to a meeting, is to always look for that one person that shows me that familiar sign of pain, that familiar sign of feeling alone, and to go over there and to make sure that person know that I know they're in that meeting. And so what I like to say a lot of times to that person, you know, whether it be at the beginning of the meeting, in the middle evening, or at the end, I like to always say to that person, I'll see you tomorrow. And that's the primary purpose, because you know what? Seeing you tomorrow means that we're going to stay clean, and we're going to come back, and we're going to try this thing all over again. And then after about the third time, after they got this thing keep coming back, I asked them, do you want me to take you to another meeting? Because then I begin, it's important to give a person a chance to understand the diversity. And what we're here today is experiencing the diversity of this fellowship. And I just want to say this in closing. It's always a special occasion, and I want to share this with you. It's always a special occasion every convention I go to, is to get something that I don't expect. And, you know, and the primary purpose, you know, that sometimes we get diverted in and we begin to advertise special things going on in our meetings. But you got to remember, it says we have one primary purpose. So when I'm announcing an anniversary or anything in reference to my meeting, I might want to leave that free food out, because sometimes that free food can divert our primary purpose. If there's 10 meetings, which meeting do you think I'm going to go to if there's free food? Just something to think about. But a lot of times, you know, we don't pay attention to those little things, because there's good intentions, you know, in announcing that we're going to give away free food and things like that. But a lot of times there's other meetings in a given area that's capable of occurring a good message that day, and we'll end up with everybody at that one meeting that got free food, and the other four meetings empty when that person walks in looking for a message of hope. Something to think about. These are my experiences, and I see it happen a lot. But what I want to say is that I hope that everybody can experience this, either at this convention or just anywhere you go. And I just want to share shortly, is that in Philadelphia last weekend, I was at one of those meetings that doesn't get a lot of popularity based on being one of the convention meetings or one of the main speakers meetings. And it was a meeting that, one of those marathon meetings, where you find those people that may not never be up at the podium, you know, people that sometimes you wonder whether or not, you know, they've been given that special talent. And I just want to talk about this gentleman that I met in this very special occasion that was from a little town in Pennsylvania called Hershey, one of those little rural places where you don't think they use drugs. And when I first saw the guy, you know, we needed somebody to do the meeting. And he kind of volunteered, you know, to do the meeting, because, you know, some of us not going to get chose to be main speakers. And I thought it was kind of an aggressive action. He said, well, I'll do the meeting. And when the guy got up and I looked at him, man, he looked like he was off the, that old movie, Mayberry or something. And he got up, he had a keychain, and he just looked like a guy that maybe wouldn't have known what he was talking about. And I'm going to tell you something. That guy that I would have never went to the meeting, if they said he was going to do the meeting, would have had doubt based on the way he looked, you know, whether or not he could carry a message, left me with something that's probably more and better than me than anything I've heard at a world convention. And what he talked about was some visions And those four visions that he had kind of parallel with my life. So I just want to say, you know, in the third tradition, it says that we must learn to practice patience and tolerance for people who don't look like us and sound like us. Just be aware at any and every Narcotics Anonymous meeting, there's a messenger that may not be the one that you expect, but the one that's going to carry the message. Thanks for allowing me to share.
I'd like to thank all those who shared, and we have a beautiful way of closing.